As the great Nature Boy Ric Flair once said, "Woo!" Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Well, that pretty much sums it up. Did you watch? Did you see history? Did you see a legend begin his run? God, I hope you did. Jaren Jackson Jr. lived up to all of my hype, and then some, with a spectacular summer league performance, a hell of a debut, definitely the best debut in summer league of any Grizzly ever in the history of Grizzlydom, one of the best in the history of anybody, probably the best game ever put up by an 18-year-old in summer league history. You just go up and down the list, it's there. It's a simultaneously great day for the Grizzlies and a terrible day, and we'll get to it later on. But let's start with the good stuff, and it's Jaren Jackson Jr. Grizzlies win the game 103-88 over the Hawks, but this one was about Jaren Jackson. And, man, what a spectacular shooting display he put on. 8 of 13 from behind the three-point line for Jackson. Took just two two-point shots, 9 of 15 overall, 8 of 13. Again, from three, the last time any Grizzly put up numbers like that in the regular season, 2008. Juan Carlos Navarro, the last Grizzly to attempt 13 or more threes in a regular season game, and Mike Miller, the last Grizzly to hit 8 or more threes in a regular season game, both of those back in 2008. So this is not something you normally would see, and certainly not from a guy that's slated to be your starting four and eventually going to be your five. But this, now, listen, I know, it's Summer League, I got it. There's no reason to lose your mind over Summer League in reality. Whatever. I'm getting excited. You might as well get excited about something in your life. And this was a performance to get excited about. What a special player he could turn out to be. And I don't think anybody expects anything remotely like this once the regular season rolls around. But from an offensive standpoint, it was everything imaginable. All of these threes were, listen, he's got that funky release. We've talked about it. I asked him about it. I asked John Hollinger about what the Grizzlies are going to do about it. They're okay with it right now. Everyone's okay with it. They're going to tweak it a little bit. And you saw a few tweaks to it, actually, in the game. But it was really smooth, and it worked. And his balance was excellent. If you watch the shots, he took a number of different types of shots, including the one at the end of the first half where he was basically 35 or so feet away and just kind of heaved it up. But even on that shot, you could see the balance that the guy has. He took some off the catch, off a screen, in motion, catch and shoot, a step back. I mean, it just every three on the board, he took it and made it, and made it look good. You know, he's got that little leg kick that drew a foul at one point, might draw some offensive fouls, but drew a defensive foul at one point. And, that's a little funky, and you're probably going to have to get rid of that lessen it to a large degree. But as a trailer, you could just see there's so many things you can do with this type of skill. There's so many things you can do with a player who can do everything he can do. And then that's not even counting what happened on the defensive end, where he had a couple of nice blocks, was all over the place, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, but was all over the place. The guy runs, like a gazelle. I mean, he takes big, long strides. He's super athletic. You can tell the guy just looks like a player. Now, like most rookies, he has no idea what's going on, and a lot of times he overplayed things and got himself out of position. You'll see that certainly throughout his rookie year. But he also made a lot of really good heads-up plays, was talking a lot, which is one of the things that the coaching staff really wants him to do, is to be the most vocal guy out on the court in any given time. He was doing that. He was picking up his teammates. He there's a lot to really like, even away from the shooting, about the performance. But I'm going to go back to the shooting, because 8 of 13. So you can see how in the pick-and-pop situations, he was able to generate tons of space. He also showed ability to drive as he drove a couple times off of a closeout. A lot of times he just wasn't really closed out enough, so he went ahead and took the shot. He'll get closed out, and he's going to have to work on that handle, but he's got a decent handle already. Likes to go left and can do it reasonably well. So that's a great opportunity, you know, to parlay that. You know, either you take the shot, you drive, and, you know, he's got to improve his passing. But still, that's it's something that you can really build around. And you throw a guy like him in the mix with Marc Gasol. Now you've got two bigs who can defend, who are, you know, good, high IQ defenders, and who can shoot, and who can stretch the floor, and who can, you know, make good decisions on the offensive end, and can back it up with the ability to shoot from deep. Yeah, it's a lineup I'm growing increasingly excited about seeing in the regular season. But you throw him in the mix with, you know, a number of different lineups the Grizzlies can throw out there, but he's got the ability to dive to the basket. He's got the ability to pop out for the three. He's got the ability to hit the three off a screen. He's got the ability to take it off the dribble and pull up. I mean, he really showed tremendous versatility. And this is a dude that, you know, he took 6-7 shots a game in college, and he's taken 15 in this one. So he is the bright, shining star in this outcome. And he went up against, you know, Trae Young. That was sort of the headline battle. And Young ends up with 16 points of his own, but it took him 20 shots, 4 of 20, including 1 of 11 from the three-point line. Jaren Jackson hit 8 threes. Trae Young hit 1. A lot of that had to do with Javon Carter, who picked up right where he left off in the the matchup with Trae Young. It sucks for Trae Young that he goes into his first summer league game, and who's the dude that he sees across the court but the same guy that locked him up when he was at West Virginia? And Javon Carter and Trae Young at Oklahoma, they played each other in the Big 12, you know, plenty of times. So it's like, man, come on, dude. I get to the pros and I see this guy. This guy's right back at it. And he did the same thing to him that he did in college. Just totally locked him up. Rough night for Trae Young. Good night for Kobe Simmons, too. 8 of 13 from the field. Hit a couple threes himself. 21 points for Kobe in 27 minutes. Was certainly active and, you know, got a little ball hoggish at times, but showed solid development over the course of a year. And, you know, playing the minutes that he played certainly helped with that. You know, that's another example of why a guy like that, you know, even though he was undrafted, even though he's a two-way player, the fact that he played a fair bit last year really did help to jumpstart his development and give him an opportunity to get a little bit better. Same way that, you know, Dylan Brooks got a little bit better. Guys, when you play, you're going to improve. When you play minutes, you should be getting better. So positive stuff from him. I thought a nice outing too from Ivan Rapp, who showed a decent ability to pass the ball in addition to scoring 14 points of his own. You know, he was very active and he looked good in his minutes. Deonte Davis, you know, I don't know. 4 points, was active on the glass. You know, did block a couple shots, but, you know, I continue to just be stymied by this guy's utter lack of any kind of good body language whatsoever. And it continues over. It's, you know, he's got to understand that he's playing for his position. The guy's playing for his job. And if you're not going to be enthusiastic, if you're not going to, you know, get out there and have some fun with it, then what the hell is the point? And again, he just does not look like he enjoys being in this position at all. Just does not look interested in playing basketball. But all in all, a really good night for the Grizzlies and a heck of a start. Couldn't have asked for much more. You know, they'll continue on Tuesday in the Summer League. And hey, man, you know, you continue just to try to get better. And I don't think there's any way Jaren Jackson replicates his performance. But, man, he showed so much of what those of us that really pushed for him, he showed and that and more, what you can see, what you can hope for if all goes well from this guy. You're talking about a guy that could shoot it at that level, who can also defend at a high level. You don't see that combination in a size like his very often. His ceiling, I said it before the draft, I'll continue to say it, his ceiling to me is the highest of anybody's in the draft. If it all works out for him, he could be the best out of anybody in the draft. So you want to have that guy on your team because you want to try to get that outcome if you can. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll flip the script and go to the other side of the day. It was a good day in the summer league. It's a bad day. All the rest of the spots. We'll talk about that next on Locked On Grizzlies. So the Grizzlies obviously got Omri Caspi in free agency, but nothing else today. And, you know, this is amid the craziness of Boogie Cousins getting no offers. Boogie Cousins did not get a single offer and ended up having his guy call the Warriors to see if he could sign there, and they were shocked and they accepted it. So now he joins the Warriors. What an insane team that is. If he's healthy, comes back, my God, what a crazy situation you're looking at. Absolutely absurd. But for the Grizzlies, the frustration comes in when on Jason and John on 92.9 ESPN, Doc Evans, Tyreek Evans' brother, comes on the show and informs everyone that the Memphis Grizzlies have not even contacted Tyreek Evans. This is as of noon or so on July 2nd. So 36 hours into free agency, and you know, you could have contacted him before that. He was your player. So it's not like you had to wait until, you know, July 1 to contact Tyreek Evans. But the Grizzlies didn't make any contact with him, did not talk to him, did not make an offer. Do we forget about what happened at the trade deadline? Do we all just forget? I certainly didn't. I'm guessing most of you didn't either. This was, well, you remember. This was a really ridiculous situation. Tyreek Evans gets pulled off the court in Indiana a week before the trade deadline, says, oh, you know, it's a trade's imminent. Okay, goodbye. Great to see you. Thanks for coming. You know, hope you have a great season, et cetera. Tells all his teammates and sits and waits for the inevitable trade, which is not inevitable because it never came. And after it never came, that was more than a week later when the deadline actually hit, the Grizzlies said, and Chris Wallace said publicly, that they didn't trade him because they didn't get offers that were of a sufficient caliber for a player like Tyreek. They were not of a sufficient caliber for a player like Tyreek. Okay. Not of a sufficient caliber. All right, you know, you can stand by your guns, be stubborn, and take nothing. You don't want a few second-round picks. You don't want a couple late seconds. You don't want young prospects. Okay, fine. But to couple that with what Doc Evans said, that the Grizzlies haven't even contacted the guy at any point in this process, is incredible. Especially when you go back and listen further, when the Grizzlies were discussing, and Chris Wallace, you know, publicly said, you know, they didn't get the offers of a sufficient caliber, and then sort of went on to talk about the idea of keeping him and saying, well, you know, the you want to make sure that he hangs around. He's great for the young players, and we may keep him, and you know, we're gonna try to hang him. We have great future plans. He's the best he's been, and blah blah blah, and all this nonsense. As it turns out, what is absolute nonsense. You know, he played 6 of the 28 remaining games. He had a injury that, you know, was frankly overblown. He had a situation with a sick relative that also was probably stretched to its maximum. He didn't really spend very much, if any, time with the team after the trade deadline, a precious few moments with them. And, you know, you didn't really get any benefit from that. Obviously, you were tanking, for God's sake. You didn't want to get you didn't want to keep the guy around anyway. You didn't want a good player. He was your best player by far. Why do you want to keep him? That doesn't make any sense when you're trying to be bad. But, okay. So, even still, just out of courtesy, covering your ass, just something, you know, make a phone call. Talk to the guy. See what you can do. Look at the market. Look what's happened right now. And you could see that, you know, the money's there. You could probably bring him back if you could mend that fence. But that fence may not be mendable. And that makes the Grizzlies look really disingenuous. And if you want to know why, you know, there's a credibility issue with the Grizzlies sometimes, this is it. You know, to say all that stuff, to come out and to, you know, publicly insinuate that you're going to bring the guy back or that you want to bring the guy back or that that's part of the gig. And then to just to react like this is it's disingenuous and it leads you to lack credibility. And it's frustrating for the fans, I would imagine, to, you know, try to put two and two together and to try to make heads or tails of this thing. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So very, very disappointing, not surprising, but certainly disappointing to find out that bit of information. And it'd be one thing if Tyreek, you know, took the call, said, nah, I don't want to come back. Okay, great, whatever. You took that risk when you kept him. But to not even make the call doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. And it's another kind of just, I don't know, a little stain on the reputation of the Grizzlies. Now, what do you do at this point with the mid-level? I don't know. Everyone pretty much is off the board. I suppose Avery Bradley is still an option at this stage. But, I mean, it's... I don't know. It goes back to the question from yesterday about, you know, what do you really want to do with the season when you look at the West and how tough it is? And, you know, it's going to be brutal, man. It's just absolutely going to be brutal. You know, do you just kind of keep your powder dry and, you know, going about your business? Do you wait for trade? What do you do? And I genuinely don't know the answer to that. I do know that you should probably try to call the guy that you discussed keeping. Just lob a phone call to him. Wouldn't mind. Maybe an in-person meeting wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. I do know that. But, you know, where you go from here, honestly, I don't know. We'll talk more about Summer League as we continue this week and as we approach the 4th of July. Everybody have yourself a great Tuesday. We'll continue here again as we roll on with summer. Locked on Grizzlies.